In dieser Episode waren wir Pilgern. Und zwar im Nockschrein, das Lourdes Irlands. Hallo, ich bin Chris vom Podcast Erlebnis Irland. Heute möchte ich euch von einem besonderen Ort erzählen, den ich kürzlich zusammen mit Fee besucht habe. Der Basilika unserer lieben Frau und Königin von Irland in Knock. Das ist ein Wallfahrtsort, in dem eine Erscheinung der Jungfrau Maria, des heiligen Josef, des heiligen Johannes, von einigen Engeln und Jesus gesehen wurde. Klingt ziemlich spektakulär, oder? Die Basilika ist ein Teil des Marienheiligtums in Knock, das jedes Jahr Millionen von Pilgern aus aller Welt anzieht. Ganz ehrlich, bis Fee mich dahin geschleppt hat, war mir dieser Ort ziemlich unbekannt, aber es war trotzdem spannend. Das Heiligtum bietet viele Sehenswürdigkeiten und Aktivitäten, wie zum Beispiel die Apparition Chapel, wo die Erscheinung stattgefunden hat, das Museum of Country Life, das hat Fee und ich besucht, wo man mehr über die Geschichte und Kultur der Region erfahren kann, und das Papal Cross, das den Besuch von Papst Johannes Paul II. Im Jahr 1979 erinnert. Ich fand die Atmosphäre und auch die Architektur dort sehr spannend. Auf dem Gelände habe ich dann auch tatsächlich noch ein Dolmen entdeckt, was ich dann noch viel, viel spannender fand. Die Basilika ist eine sehr moderne und helle Kirche, die hat immerhin Platz für 10.000 Gläubige. Sie hat eine sehr tolle Mosaikwand hinter dem Altar, viele Skulpturen und Darstellungen, alles sehr modern, aber ich finde sehr, sehr beeindruckend. Und wir hatten ferner so den Eindruck, jetzt komme ich wieder auf den Dolmen von Graz zurück, dass das ein besonderer Kraftort sein kann. Wenn du mal in Irland bist und in dieser Gegend, dann kann ich dir nur empfehlen, dort selbst vorbeizuschauen und mal zu sehen, ob es euch oder beziehungsweise dir genauso wie uns gegangen ist.
So, heute sind wir in Knock. Knock ist ein bekannter Wallfahrtsort und wir unterhalten uns heute mit Robert aus dem Knock Museum und er wird uns etwas über die Geschichte der Wallfahrt und auch des Wallfahrtsortes erzählen können. Now we are at Knock Museum and Robert is sitting next to me and he's introducing himself now.
Hi Felicitas and hi to all your listeners. My name is Robert Flatley. I care for the collections here at Knock Museum. Also do a lot of the sort of historical research on Knock as well. I'm a trained historian with an MA in history. So hopefully I'll be able to answer most of the questions that come up. My primary job is to look after the collections in the museum itself. Make sure that everything is kept in good condition, the preventive conservation, and then as a secondary role, the research, the historical research, as much more as we can do.
Mm-hmm. So the pilgrimage started in 1879, correct?
So in 1879, the apparition occurred. So in the apparition, I'm not sure how much detail is covered on this, or maybe you've covered some of this before. But what you have is three figures appearing. So in the centre, Our Lady. To her right, St. Joseph, and to her left, St. John the Evangelist. And then further over to her left again. And if you were looking on at it like the witnesses were, to the right-hand side, is a lamb on an altar with a cross in the background.
So these are very old symbols. The lamb stands for Jesus and the cross stands for his death?
Yes, very much so. And One of the interesting things is, of course, in Europe at the time in 1879, you had what was called the Marian Devotion Movement. So you probably look at it about 20 to 25 years after Lourdes. I've forgotten the exact date for Lourdes, but I think it was the 1850s. So everyone everyone is focused very much at the time on the figure of Our Lady. But as of from sort of more recent times, a great deal was put into the theological significance of the Lamb and the altar and the cross. And indeed today, the symbol or sigil of Knock Shrine is the Lamb with the cross in the background. And Pope Francis elevated Knock to the status of International Marian and Eucharistic Shrine in 2021, just a few years ago, to really give more significance to the Lamb in the apparition at Knock.
So how many people come here a year?
The estimates generally, and of course COVID has kind of put a bit of a spanner in the works there, if you like. The estimates generally have been about 1.5 million per year. So we had, I think from the year that COVID hit, a new footfall counter was in. And probably this year will be the first full season, so we'll be able to get really accurate numbers from this year. Estimated at 1.5 million, as I say. Last year, probably didn't get up until about March, and it came in at close to a million, or just about a million. So it's probably not very far off the old estimates.
And people flock here also because of the water. Or not?
The holy water?
Yeah.
People tend to get it. It isn't actually a holy spring here. It's just blessed water. So it's actually, it is kept and funneled through as blessed water. But it's not actually from a holy spring or something. But everyone does tend to take the holy water with them when they go.
So people come here and they do a pilgrimage because they are sick, or what are they cured from?
So that kind of goes back to, so on the after the apparition, which of course word spreads quite quickly locally in the early days, but after the apparition, about 10 days later, a little girl from the neighbouring town of Clamaris had walked out with her mother. This girl was deaf from birth and had pains in her ears. So she was crying out with pain during the Mass. Her mother brought her out and around to the gable wall, so the site where the apparition occurred just 10 days earlier. And she picked a bit of the plaster off the wall, put it in the child's ear and made the sign of the cross on her ear, and she was instantly cured. So, of course, once word spreads of cures, people are very quick to come in search of cures. And as I'm sure you can imagine, everyone wanted a piece of the wall. So you actually started to get holes in the wall. A journalist about a year or two later wrote that there was holes large enough for a child to crawl through with the wall. So, of course, then they started to cover the wall up.
And pilgrimage has a long tradition in Ireland, doesn't it?
Oh yes, pilgrimage, probably even going back to pre-Christian times. But you have, I mean, certainly the likes of Croagh Patrick, people have been going since the time of Patrick to climb the mountain and that kind of thing. Other sort of key Irish saints, so say Bridget, people will go to her monastery in Kildare, places even like Ballintubber Abbey here in County Mayo as well. So pilgrimage was, you know, Knock didn't invent pilgrimage in Ireland by any means. No, it was certainly a long-standing tradition long before that.
So what I also like about your little museum that you have here is that you also give insight in everyday life.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's very important to the way the museum is laid out. The focus is on what makes Knock different or special in terms of what Ireland was like in the 1870s or all of the late 19th century, I suppose. But also, we shouldn't lose in that that it was a normal Irish rural area, and there's a lot of sort of focus on what life would have been like for the people. So the little village model is a great way of getting a sense of what any rural Irish village, because we were very keen to make it what Knock would have been like on the eve of the apparition rather than shortly after, so that you get a sense of what a rural sort of village would have been like in Ireland at the time.
Sometimes if you have places that have like a holy feeling to it, they are normally used that for centuries or even millenniums. Is this also occurring here with Knock? So that you have prehistoric sites around?
Not so much that I'm aware of. I mean, there is the site of possibly an old church or monastery in the graveyard, which you may have seen yourself up there. But in actual fact, we're not able to tell which it was. And an archaeologist did come here several years ago, and they were inconclusive as to whether it was an old church or an old monastery. Had it been a monastery, it could have been part of the King Henry VIII's reforms when he disestablished the monasteries. As I said, they were inconclusive whether it was a church or a monastery. So it's not very clear. There's nothing that I can say for sure that marked Knock out as a site of religious pilgrimage from before the apparition is about all I can say about that, really.
But what is also special about the apparition that you have witnesses, or that you have eyewitness sources too?
Yes, so there's 15 of what we call the official witnesses. And I'm not sure, have you been in the Basilica yet yourselves?
Not yet.
Okay. Yeah. So when you go up, one of the interesting things is when you see the large mosaic, and you can't miss it. But if you count the witnesses, you'll get probably 20. I've had people say 21. Some people maybe miss one. I always get 20. So why do we have 20 people in the large image if we talk about 15 official witnesses? So the reason for that is the official witnesses are those that were here to give a testimony to the Commission of Inquiry on the day that it met. So, of course, this had to have an inquiry into it and an investigation. And when that was done, the 15 that were available to give testimonies at the time gave their testimonies. And those are the ones we speak about when we say the 15 official witnesses. We have up to 21 names, and that may not be an exclusive list of people that were supposedly here on the night. Some mentioned by the witnesses, some through sort of local sort of mention that, you know, such and such might say my great grandmother was there on the night. So we can't say for sure, but what we can say is that those 15 who were who gave the testimonies were certainly there, and we believe at least 5 or 6 others.
And you can also find the testimonies on the webpage.
You can, yes. And that's probably, rather than going into any detail about them here, I think probably if you want to look them up yourself, very good way of getting it down yourself, getting a look yourself and seeing. So everyone that talks about the Knock apparition, and one of the interesting things about it is people often ask, was there a message? But one of the really interesting things about Knock is there was no message, no spoken message. So it's very much open to your own interpretation. And the best way to interpret it, I think, is to go through the witness testimonies yourself. So the statues that are laid out there were commissioned by Dame Judy Coyne, who set up the Knock Shrine Society, the volunteers who organised the pilgrimage season. That's very much her interpretation of it from the witness testimonies. And I think quite a good interpretation, but everyone will sort of maybe find something that they would focus on more, or some message of their own from it. And so I think probably the best thing is read through them yourself and take your own message from it.
And who at the moment is doing the shrine? Are the nuns, are the monks or priests around here? Or?
So it's currently run by Father Richard Gibbons, who is the I think his title is Administrator and Rector. And he's the latest in a long line of parish priests that run the shrine. So, of course, not alone has he got the ordinary parish work, but also to keep the running of Knock Shrine and all the several sort of subsidiaries of it, of which the museum ourselves are one. And a lot involved in it. I don't think he officially has a curate here at the moment, but there are several priests retired to Knock or come to help out here as well, from diocesan and various other orders that come and stay in the village and help out. A lot of that will be with confessions, or they might say the masses, and do several of the other sort of sacraments and ceremonies that's involved.
There are masses every day, aren't they? There are masses every day?
Oh, every day, yes, yeah. And during the summer, they take place mostly in the Basilica. So I'm assuming that most people that will be coming for the pilgrimage season at some point. So you would expect the masses to be in the very large church, the Basilica of Our Lady Queen of Ireland, at 12 o'clock and 3 o'clock daily. And there's also a 10:30 on Sundays as well. Those are the main ones. I think there's still one at 7:30 in the parish church, straight through the season as well.
And the museum is free, and they also have audio guides also in German. So if you want to listen to it in German.
So were you impressed?
Absolutely.
And the translations were all perfect?
My son listened to it. I listened to the English one.
Okay, very good. Yes, so the museum is free. And also, if anyone was booking a tour, we do the grounds tours and museums tours for free. Currently, at least, we're based on a donation-only basis. So that has been working quite well, and hopefully it will continue to do so, and we won't have to put a charge back on. It's a great service to be able to offer. Hopefully give people a good sort of a sense of the place and a background, and it's sometimes quite enjoyable for us in here to get out and actually take a walk around the grounds as well, if the weather is nice, and show people around, and you can really get a sense of the visuals as well as the history from the museum. The audio guides are in seven languages in the museum, but actually for the grounds, they're just in English at the moment. So we hope going forward that we'll be able to put those in the same languages as well. But German is certainly one of them. And Grace is very good on this. If she was here, I'm the curator. I'm not as certain of the languages. I think I'd have to count them out to myself. English, Irish, German, French, Spanish, Italian and Polish. Yeah, I got them all at seven, so that's...
So you have one in Gaelic too?
Yes, so they're very keen to have one in the national language as well. And sometimes with the schools you have what we call the Gaelscoil, so the schools that are all done through Irish, through Gaelic, and we try to give it to them so that they can do that as part of their schooling in the language.
Mm-hmm. And if you come here, what do you have to take with you?
So I think most people, as you said earlier, the holy water is something that everyone likes to take as part of the visit. Another strange thing that a lot of people ask for is the Knock Rock. The candy sticks of Knock Rock. But I think then what everyone takes with them as well is a sense of having been, the sense of peace that they get here. We hear that over and over again, that the people who came got a tremendous sense of peace and what's the correct word I'm looking for? Tranquility. And that was kind of the highlight of their visit. Just even people, I should say, that aren't Catholics or that maybe are of other Christian or of no religion at all, that just come to sort of see what it's all about, they nearly all remark on, you know, maybe it isn't their thing, but they found it a really peaceful visit.
So if you're here and you want to look a little bit at the region too, where would you recommend people going to?
So round about the area? Mm-hmm. Well, depending, I suppose, on your aims, sort of historically, you have the National Museum of Country Life in Turlough, just outside Castlebar. Ballintubber Abbey or Kylemore Abbey, two other very interesting and historical religious sites. Again, as a place of pilgrimage, we're not far from Croagh-Patrick. So if you have weather permitting and you wanted to go climb the mountain and do the Croagh-Patrick pilgrimage, that's just about 40 minutes away, 40, 45 minutes away. You're quite close to cities of Galway and Sligo. So Galway is always considered a place to go. I think it was European Capital of Culture just a couple of years ago, actually, possibly last year, although I think it was a little earlier, maybe 2020 or something like that. So they're all in the sort of local vicinity. If I think of anything else, I'll add to that after.
Okay.
I know you're going to edit this up and cut bits out as you need, so
it's all right.
Or at least I hope you are.
Don't worry. Okay. I have no more questions at
the moment. Okay.
So thank you very much for your time.
No problem.
I need your last name too, because I haven't had that.
I think I put it in but at the start when I think, but it's Flatley.
Flatley, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Robert. Right, you're happy with everything that's covered then?
Absolutely.
Okay. Jetzt hoffe ich, dass ihr diese Episode gefallen hat. Schön, dass du mit dabei warst. Wenn du Lust hast, mit uns zu quatschen, dann kannst du das gerne tun. Und zwar auf unserer Facebook-Gruppe mit dem Namen Erlebnis Irland, auf unserer Seite oder auch auf unserem WhatsApp-Kanal. Ich wünsche dir auf jeden Fall einen ganz tollen Tag. Bis bald. Dein Chris und
deine Fee.